Dara during the Yom Ha'Ra'im seemed like a good topic for discussion for this year's Yom Ha'Ra'im season. One is because very much it is connected to the first Mishnah in Sanhedrin, so it flows very naturally from there. And also we talked about Prisbol for reasons both of its timeliness and of its Sanhedrin connection. And there is overlap between Prisbol and Hetter Nedarim, so talking about them all together is probably appropriate. So there's a lot to say about Hetter Nedarim in general, even though the Mishnah famously says that there's not so much to say as far as the Chumash. The Mishnah says that Hetter Nedarim Parchim Ba'avir, that the Chumash itself tells us very little about Hetaras Nedarim, and we need to rely heavily on Parash Balpet for that. So there is a lot from Torah Shabbat Pet to discuss in terms of Hetaras Nedarim. We're not going to focus on that so much, on all of the other things one could say about the subject, as much as focusing specifically on the practice that we find during the 9 days, during the Seder Yom Tshuva, during the Yom Ha'Ra'im, to do Hetaras Nedarim, Hetaras Nedarim, and to talk a little bit about it in that context. So Sunday morning, Erev Rosh Hashanah and my shul, we were doing Hetaras Nedarim and Prisbol one after the other. And the Mashkiach, who was a man of Chabad background, so he made two observations. He said that it was notable the fact that we were having many people doing Hetaras Nedarim together at one time. And he mentioned that the minhag he was familiar with was to have a Beis Din for Hetaras Nedarim made up of 10. So the truth is those two points are connected to each other. So to discuss that a little bit, on the one hand, Hetaras Nedarim, so we know we do that in front of 3 Dayanim. So our whole sugya at the moment is Dinei Mamonos B'Shlosha. We know that when we have a Beis Din of 3, that's connected to a whole host of other requirements, including the Smuchim, and including a number of other details. But when it comes to Hetaras Nedarim, you had a chance to see the Shulchan Aruch that I gave you some citations from. So there are a number of kulas that we utilize. Among the kulas is that we can have multiple people speaking at once, even though that's not a normal Beis Din proceeding. We're also not makbid that the Dayanim not be krovim to each other or to the person involved. We're not makbid if the Dayanim are standing up, even though in practice you may not notice these kulas, because in practice nowadays, I think we have the Dayanim sit more often, and you don't want necessarily see that they are krovim. So some of these kulas you might not necessarily be aware of, but they exist. And that they have Hetaras Nedarim at night. So that's also a time when we don't have din. So all of these are kulas that we find in the area of Hetaras Nedarim. The problem is, if we're going to say that we should have 10, as apparently some are machmir to do, and just parenthetically, the idea of having 10, it could have a couple of explanations to it, but one of them is the assumption that we're being machmir not only nedarim, but also nidui, also chayrim. Somebody is in chayrim, so we want to try to have that undone. But that requires a minyan. So that may be the source for such a hider. But there could be a problem with having 10 dayanim. What's the problem? From our Mishnah, from our Daf of Sanhedrin, what's the potential problem? It's a Beis Din shakel, right? So we know that we're not allowed to have a Beis Din that is even numbered. That we have the rule of Acher Rav and Mahatos, that we have to go for a uneven Beis Din so that there could be a majority to follow. And if you have an even Beis Din, you could end up with a equally split decision, and we won't have a majority. So therefore, we have normally the requirement of a Beis Din that is not shakel. So if you're going to say you should have 10, so then you're going to run up against that issue. So are you permitted to have a Beis Din shakel? So this was an issue that was discussed in the Tshuva of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, Siman Ayin Gimel, that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was asked about this strange situation. He said that somebody told him that he moved to a new city and he had a secret nether that he wanted to undo, And the problem was that he didn't really trust anyone in the city. So he didn't want to confide in anybody what his neder was. And the Gemara, you may have seen the Gemara Masech has given, that at least ideally, you should reveal the content of the neder to the Beis Din. Now, nowadays, you may wonder, we don't see that in our Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Kippur, Hatar, Sudar, but we also do say in the Nusach that really we should be mefarid them, but there's many of them, so we can't, so we don't remember what they are, and the whole story, so we acknowledge that really that's what's supposed to happen. So this man asked Rabbi Akiva Eiger that in order for him to do Hatar, Sudar, he needs to reveal the Nezer, and he doesn't trust any of the people in the city to do this. And there is one person who he trusts, one person is willing to confide in. The problem is, this is a 14, 15-year-old boy. And even though he's past bar mitzvah age, he's not necessarily qualified for a dayan for these purposes. Because you may be familiar that the idea that we trust that somebody is an adult at the age of 13, that a boy is an adult at the age of 13, so that's based on an assumption with the Rabbanan, it's called Chazaka Derabba, and we only really rely on that for Dinum Derabbanan. So Bar Mitzvah boy, he thinks he's really fully grown up, really all the things, all the mitzvahs that we have him do are all mitzvahs Derabbanan. So he lanes, so he davens for the Alma, he does all those things, those are all mitzvahs Derabbanan. If the Bar Mitzvah boy wanted to lane Parsha Zohar, the whole discussion in post-game whether or not you can allow a Bar Mitzvah boy to lane Parsha Zohar, because we're not really sure he's a gadol, we just work off the assumption that a 13-year-old boy qualifies. So since Hatar Shadar is a Dimon HaTorah, so it doesn't seem like that's going to be good enough. It seems like we need bearded adults, we need people who are certainly grown up in order to qualify. So what should I do? Asked this man. So it says, Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I have an etzah. What you should do is you should get three fully adult dayanim, and then you should have this younger boy should be also a part of the town. So you'll have four dayanim. And you will tell your nether to this one boy who you trust. So that will accomplish, you don't have to tell the whole panel, that will accomplish your specifying the nether, which apparently is a din drabbanan, so for that we can rely on the chazaka d'rabba. And the actual hataras nadarim will have a panel of four of them, three of whom are clearly adults, and that will accomplish what you need to accomplish. Got it? So it's an interesting suggestion in the back, the Hashmatos discusses, well, this whole plan is based on the premise that we're not sure if this young boy is really qualified, so maybe we should worry that if he's not qualified, if he's really a child, so then do we have the klal of Nimsa Echad Mehem Karav Upasol by the Yanim Osa? And we know that when it comes to Eidim, so we don't say the more the merrier, that even though a group of Eidim could be any number over two, but if that number includes Psulim, so then the whole group is going to be possible. So should we say that by Dayanim also? So Dayanim here, we could also have a larger number. But what if some of those Dayanim are Psulim? So should we say that's a problem? So Akiva Eiger assumes, no, it wouldn't be a problem because the Katan says it's not a Dayan at all. So if it turns out he's a Katan, then he'll just be off the list. And that won't infect the other Dayanim. That won't create a Psul across the board. So basically, this was his elaborate suggestion. You could have this panel of four Dayanim, and you could have one of them be the one you trust, and the other three will be the actual Dayanim and Shalom HaYisrael. So, what's the problem with this suggestion? All right, how many Dayanim do you end up having there? You end up having four. So that's a Beis Din shakol. So apparently, Rabbi Akiva Eiger is not concerned with a Beis Din shakol for Hataras Nedarim. And in that, he is challenged by a gadol very dear to our hearts, the Yitzchak Chanan Spector, our sponsor, who writes in the Nachal Yitzchak that he has a raya from the Rishon, if he had a chance to see, that it seems that the psul of Beis Din Shakol extends to Hataras Nedarim as well. Right? You saw the Gemara in Bava Basra, where the Gemara talks about learning from Rashi Hamatos that you could have heter nedarim either by a yachid mumcha, or if it's not going to be a mumcha, then it's got to be more. So how many more? So then it could be plural, could be two, but two can't be because you can't have best and shakal, as the Rishonim explained. It's so the Tosfos there and the Rush in the Darim. So it seems like from those Rishonim that it's pretty much explicit within the limud for a Bezdin panel that you can't have a Bezdin shakal, not only by Bat Beit Din in general, but specifically in the context of Hataras Nedarim. So what exactly is going on here? Right? So here you have a machlokas that Rabbi Akiva Eiger apparently is okay with Bezdin shakal for Hataras Nedarim, and Rabbi Yochanan is not okay with it. So first, let's try to figure out why is Kiveger okay with it. So Kiveger himself, he alludes a little bit to why he's okay with it from a Lumbish perspective. And basically, what emerges from his words is that in order to have a Taras Nedarim, so you have to have people who are kosher dayanim. But we're not worried about external factors. That if the dayanim themselves are kosher, so meaning they're not children or they're not women, so then we don't worry that the combination is an issue. That the fact that other dayanim are related to them, or that they happen to be standing up instead of sitting down, or that it's nighttime, which you could argue, but apparently nighttime he also sees that as an external factor. So each dayan by himself is a kosher dayan. It's just that the circumstances are not in keeping with the normal requirements for din. Apparently that's okay for Hataras Nedarim. As long as the Hataras Nedarim, in other words, doesn't really require a bezdin with all of its details that we find elsewhere, it requires three dayanim. So if each one is a dayan, then the three of them together can be matan nedarim, despite the fact that other circumstances are not consistent with them. Okay, so far so good. So what about thank you. So what about Rabbi Yitzchak Yochanan?
Wait, so how does that mean that a based in shakal is concerned external factor?
Essentially, yeah. That basically you don't need the halachas of bezdin. According to the Kiveger, to have a Taras Nedarim, you need three dayanim. So if you have three dayanim, so then other details that get in the way are not a problem in this area of halacha. Right, so all the other kulas that we have, the ones that we know that we have, such as nighttime, kolim, standing, and the one that's disputed also, the number of dayanim, in the sense of it being even or odd, is there a mathematical term for the quality of being either even or odd? Got to be some word to describe that. Okay, so whatever it is, the even or oddness of the number, all of those are external factors which don't change any one of these people's status as a dayan, and therefore we're okay with that. So Yitzchak Yochanan disagrees. He apparently needs one step further. He apparently requires that they do have to be a bezdin. Now the other part, I'll agree with you. That the Bezdin doesn't have to necessarily follow all the rules of Din, and therefore the Bezdin can convene at night, and the Bezdin can be related to each other. But this rule of Bezdin, that it has to be not shakal, that is a part that is inherent to the definition of the Bezdin, and therefore that's going to affect Hataras Nedarim as well. So, why again now? Yeah.
So why does he not require all the other things that?
Because those still don't affect the kashrus of the bezdin. That basically, so the same story one step further. That we're only looking to inherent qualities. So the same way Peter said that we don't care about external factors like nighttime or standing. So he agrees with that. Except we'll take it one step further and say it's not just that we need three dayanim. We need these three dayanim to have the halacha of a bezdin. The halacha of a bezdin is apparently inherent in those halachas that it can't be even, so that's going to carry over here as well. Now, so then, again, if that that halacha, which does seem to be derived from Gemara and Rishon. So we have to figure out what exactly is Rabbi Akiva Eiger's position. So I saw one sefer quoted from Rabbi Yoshev. Speaker Eisman in his sefer Ratz Kitzvi has a slightly different approach, quoted from Rabbi Baruch Mordechai Yizrachi. Says that maybe Bezdin Shachol really only eliminates two, and after two it could be an even number. So you have to explain why that is. It's not so obvious. It could be that we have to at least theoretically have one dying who could advocate on behalf of each party, and then at least one tiebreaker, but then after that we're not so concerned if the number is even or odd. Or as the quote of the name of Eliyashiv, say for Shalmei Toda, is where I saw that, is that first you have this exclusion of two dayanim and you need a tiebreaker, and then after that, that's part of the definition of the Beis Din. Then after that, you would need an odd number of judges if there's actually going to be a back and forth, a give and take, as far as deciding who's right and who's wrong. But if you're not going to actually have a vote, you're not going to actually have a give and take, so then you still need three in order to have the kasher Beis Din, but after that, the number could be even. You may recall, when we talked about Prisbul, there was a view that you could actually have a Beis Din of two. And that was based on the idea, the truth is, we'll see, if the Gemara has a discussion about whether or not there could exist a Beis Din of two. And we saw that that was a possibility in the context of Prisbul, that some explain specifically because Prisbul doesn't have any back and forth, and there's no voting. So here, apparently, we're not willing to say that for the initial three. We still need three, but once we go past three, maybe that could explain why we're okay with, if we are, like Rabbi Akiva Eiger, why we're okay with having it be an even number. So then the question is, if you could have all these details that deviate from din, so why is that? Zsolti, in Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, has an essay about this, where he suggests that the limud from Rashi Hamatos is that really the din of Hetu Nedarim is the Chacham, is the Yachid Mumcha. And then if there's no Chacham, so then we have a halacha that Hejotos could be the Matir, and then Hejotos, that's where we have the drasha, that it's got to be more than the Chacham, because if the Chacham can do it by himself, so it must mean that if you're not a Chacham, you can't do it by yourself, so then you need two. And then two, we need a Beis Din Shachol, we need a Beis Din Eino Shachol, so then you get to three. So maybe that's essentially the process, but it means it's not really a Din Beis Din, it's really a Din Chacham. And that the Rashi of the Pasuk tells us that three Hejotos could sit in for the Chacham. So in general, this is a question, what exactly is the process of Hetu Nedarim? Is it actually Din, or is it something else? Right, this could relate to when we talked about Shlich L'Sayu a few weeks ago, and we talked about the whole Machlokes by Geirus, if you remember. And the question of the fact that we accept Geirus nowadays, even without Dayanim Smuchim, so apparently we do that through Shlich L'Sayu. So does that mean that Shlich L'Sayu is effective on a level of Mahat Torah, as some of the Rishonim thought? Or does it mean that, no, Shlich L'Sayu is not effective in the Torah, but Geirus doesn't really need a Beis Din in the actual sense. Maybe Geirus doesn't have the same status of Din as things that actually do require Beis Din smoothing. So what about Hataras Nedarim? So is Hataras Nedarim actually Din, or is it something else? So this is a point that's discussed again, that's Sefer Ratz Kitzvi. And he notes from the Aruch HaShulchan and from others that Hataras Nedarim doesn't seem to be actual din, but something that is kain din, something that is somewhat akin to din, which rhymes. So what exactly is it? So what is the process? So you note, if you saw in the Shulchan Aruch, right, that we basically have two different ways to be matir and edel. Right, what are the two ways? Charata or Pesa, right? So Charata basically is that the person acknowledges that he completely regrets what he took on and that he wishes it never happened in the first place. And a Pesach is different. A Pesach essentially is that you need to have some kind of a fact that if you had known the fact, then you wouldn't have taken the nether. So, for example, the Gemara talks about post-mishum kibud av ei. Let's say you took a nether not to eat a certain food. And now your parents, for some reason, have decided only to start serving that food all the time. So every single meal you have at your parents' house, you get through a whole fight because you can't eat the one food that they want to serve. So had you known it was going to awkwardize your kibud av ei situation, would you have taken the nether in the first place? So that's an example of a pasach. So it seems that specifically when we're talking about charata, charata is a process that doesn't really require any actual investigation by the dayanim. Basically, just the dayanim signing off on the process. So if that's the case, right, so they just have to establish, you come before the dayanim, and you say that you regret that you took this nether. So you don't need to have witnesses come and say that you've been complaining about this for a few weeks and a couple people who can testify to the fact that you've been throwing things against the wall and anger at yourself for having taken a nether. We just establish that you're mischarit on it. So that process is a relatively straightforward process. So it seems that when we talk about heter nedarim through charata, so that doesn't really require actual dayanim, or actual din rather, that just requires people who are dayanim, but the process is not the process that actually rises to the level of din in the fullest sense, that has all of these extra requirements that we otherwise might have. So that's good if that's what we're talking about. We're talking about charata. When it comes to Pesach, so it seems that we do require more seriousness. It's the Yerushalmi that sounds like that. That requires the dayanim to actually be sitting and all focused and listening carefully. It seems that there's reasons for that that are both technical and fundamental. That when it comes to a Pesach, so first of all, it's a little bit more of an involved process. You have to come up with some external factor and you have to assess whether or not that external factor is enough to undo the neder. But not only that, but when it comes to charata, so we're establishing essentially that there was never a neder in the first place. So that doesn't really require anything to happen. Basically, the presence of the charata now disconnects the intent and the action that's a necessary part. That's how some of the achronim explain, by the way, why it is that heter nedarim works in the first place. There's a whole discussion, how does heter nedarim work? So some suggest that perhaps there is a requirement that we have to have people leave Oshavin, and when somebody takes a nether, so his mouth and his heart have to be in sync. There has to be a connection between what he's saying and what he feels. And if that is a disconnect because there is this retroactive regret, so then maybe that becomes unplugged, that it's cord, and there's never a nether in the first place. So I want to talk about it's interesting to consider the Mishnah, which talks about heter nedarim and parchan v'av, the Mishnah first paragraph of Chagiga. So the two things that are compared there are heter nedarim and Shabbos. And then the Gemara says Shabbos, it's melachas machshavos especially that gets us a little bit confused because it's so not spelled out in the Torah. So it happens to be those are two areas of halacha that both require a certain synchronicity between intent and action. That's a large part of the discussion about melachas machshavos, and that's also what Atar Sadarim we're about, so there's a lot to maybe explore about that, perhaps Alpi Derech Hadrush. But in any event, so the idea that Heter Nedarim plays on that, that if there is a lack of connection because of the Charata, so now essentially the Neder is gone. So when it comes to that, that's a pretty straightforward process. Pesach is more complicated, first of all, because you have to assess this external factor. And also because you have to then take an existing nether and cut it off and cancel it, and that's more of an official good process, so that's going to require something a little bit more involved. So it could be that our attitude of kulas in general, and perhaps doesn't shuffle as well, of hataras nedarim could come from the fact that we're working under the assumption that we're dealing with neder al yidei hataras nedarim al yidei charata rather than al yidei pesach, And Charat Tulisin is maybe not actual din, it's ka'idid, and therefore we can function without all the trappings of actual din.
There's a similar dichotomy when you're learning from salvation, that there's sometimes a based in, its job is just to kind of sit there and watch.
Right.
Yeah. To sit there and watch something happen like Khalid's done.
Right. So I think we established in that context, and we're going to see more examples of it after the Yantid, that pretty much every model of Bezdin that we see pretty much has this duality to it. That in general, the whole concept of the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, that sometimes they are actual fact finders and sometimes they're more there in a formality role, and there are all kinds of differences, right? So not just in terms of that comment about the Bezdin, the Sanhedrin, the Ayin Aleph, but all of our Bate Din seem to have two different hats. Sometimes they're actually the fact-finding mission and an evaluative role, and sometimes they're there more just signing off on something. So it seems that when it comes to Hataras Nadarim, so it's both. It depends what kind of Hataras Nadarim are we doing. Are we doing Hataras Nadarim Al-Yidei Charata, which is simpler, or Hataras Nadarim Al-Yidei Pesach, which is going to be a bit more involved. So if we're saying that we're doing Hatar Sadarim Ayidei Charata, so then that could explain our utilization of all kinds of kulas towards this process. And, if you look at the Nusach that we say, so we focus on Charata. Now, you might call attention to, if you saw on the Taros, that Shulchan Aruch does say that it's advisable practice to try to create the Pesach as well, that even when Charata is present, to also try to utilize Pesach, which would theoretically raise the bar in terms of what kind of a bezin we're using. However, as Rabbi Reisman points out in his sefer, that even if that's true, it does not seem to be our practice on Yom Darayim. That the Yom Darayim, Hatar Sadarim that we're doing on Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Kippur, whether that is true that in general somebody has an isolated situation of an eder, maybe he should seek out a Pesach together with a Karata, but the Klalistic Hataras Nadarim that we all do in Yom Darayim seems to be focused specifically on Karata and not on Pesach. I mentioned once Al Piderach HaJosh that maybe that's the whole idea, that it's always a topic of interest why it is that Yom Kippur night, so we start with Kol Nidre, it's something I should darshan about every Yom Kippur night with a different approach. The whole idea of beginning Yom Kippur with Kol Nidre is very hard to understand for a lot of different reasons. Because, okay, you want to do a Hataras Nadarim, that's great, but first of all, we've already done them by then, but also it seems to be more of a prerequisite to Tshuva, not really the main show of Tshuva, the idea that that's how we start Yom Kippur, such a public way, everyone knows Kol Nidre, that's the big opening event. A lot of kashas on it. It doesn't seem like it's significant enough to take such center stage on Yom Kippur. And it also seems like it's a shtickle of chutzpah, basically saying, let us offer everything that we committed, and also for the future too. And by the way, you should trust us when we say we're doing tshuva, even though we're declaring don't believe us about anything. The whole thing is a little bit of a baffling practice, and there's a lot of approaches as to why it is. And again, there's enough approaches that I've spoken about at Kol Nidre night differently every year for the past 6 or 7 years. But one approach one could perhaps take is if we focus on the fact that Hatzah Nedarim Al-Yidei Charata Davka is the theme of the Yom Darayim. So maybe the idea is that the Charata comes from a certain awareness, a certain Emas Hadin, essentially, that when a person is really confronted with the fact that they've made commitments that they haven't lived up to, they're really face-to-face with this reality. So that only comes because of a increasing consciousness of the atmosphere of Din. And maybe the point is that it's specifically on the footsteps of Yom Kippur, right there as we're about to start Yom Kippur, and you're really face-to-face with the Emes HaDin, that's when you suddenly appreciate just how much your commitments were not serious enough. And that's where that Charata sinks in, and that's the appropriate time to respond with a Kol Nidre kind of declaration. So that's consistent with this idea that the Hataras Nadarim that we're doing during the Yom Darayim is not the same kind of Hataras Nadarim you might do all year round if you have a specific neder that you want to get released, but it's dafka tied in to the atmosphere of the day, and therefore it's about Charata specifically. Halacha L'maisa, should you use a Beis Din Shokel? So Jolty, in his essay, Schoenbach has a tshuva about it, where he basically says it's a suffix. He says, on the one hand, there are those from Mahadra to have 10, on the other hand, maybe it's a bad idea because Beis Din Shokel, so he kind of leaves it open, kind of leaves it as a suffix. Jolty writes that he thinks that it's not a good idea in practice. He says, even though from a Lamdish perspective, one can explain to the Eger's Shita and the ways, as we've seen, to explain it conceptually. But practically speaking, since Rabbi Tzvi was against it, and since he seems to have some pretty strong proof from the Rishonim, it seems as a practical matter, it's not advisable that one should have a Beis Din Shokel for this purpose. And if one does want to have 10, as apparently the practice in some Sfari circles to have 10 because of the issue of nidui and the like, so then you should have 11. So have more than 10, have, like our Mishnah says, you know, we have certain building blocks as to what's in the various batei din, and then we add one to avoid shikul. So to here, if you want to have 10, so have 11, that's the recommendation. Okay, so maybe we'll just quickly review what we spoke about, and we'll dive into it. So we spoke about this question of the various kulas that we find in Hetzer Nedarim, the fact that even though we have what looks like a bezdin, but we allow it to take place at night, with krovim, standing up, etc., etc. And the question is, what about bezdin shokel? So Rabbi Eger has this tshuva where he recommends to someone to have a bezdin of four. It was because the person only wanted to confide in one of these dayanim, and this dayan was possibly too young. So he recommended having this bezdin of four, and apparently wasn't concerned about bezdin shokel. While Rabbi Tzvi disagreed, and he had raya's from the Gemara from Yishonim that the concern of bezdin shokel does apply to Hatar Sadar. So we discussed the various ways to explain it. Rabbi Eger himself indicates how to explain his position, that we're only worried about inherent disqualifications of dayanim. We're not worried about external disqualifications, so anything that has to do with how they combine either with each other or with the circumstances, we're not worried about that. And it seems Rabbi Tzvi had a similar approach, but also felt it has to be a bezdin, and that apparently bezdin shokel was inherently psul in a bezdin. So why was Rabbi Eger not worried about that? So we discussed the possibility that maybe bezdin shokel only eliminates two, according to him. It's a little bit of a difficult position to take. We mentioned the position of Shabbat Shabbat, that maybe there's two different components. One is that it shouldn't be two, and the other is that if it's going to be a vote, it should be an odd number. So they need to have more than two. And if there's no vote, then we're not worried if it's an even number past two. We also discussed the result of the explanation and how this whole process works, that the idea is, we learn out from Rashi Hamatos, that really it's the Yichacham who is the one who is Mater Neder, and therefore a Yochid Mumcha can do it. But if we don't have a Mumcha, so we see if you have to be a Mumcha to do it by yourself, it means if you're not a Mumcha, you need more than yourself. So you need at least two, and because you can't have Shokel, so you need at least three. So essentially, you need three Hedjotos, but maybe that doesn't necessarily mean that they actually have to constitute a Bezdin. So it raises the question, are we dealing with a process of Din, or something which is like Din, but isn't actually Din? We gave the example of Geirus, where we found also such a discussion. We mentioned that the Aruch HaShulchan writes that it's not an actual Din, it's kind of like Din. And then we noted the possible distinction between Pesach and Charata, that a Heter Al Yidei Charata is pretty simple, and it's just about establishing there was Charata, and maybe that doesn't require an actual Bezdin, while Pesach is more serious, both in terms of the process and also in terms of the lumbus, that you're taking existing Neder and canceling it out. So if we're talking about a Pesach, a Heter Al Yidei Charata, so then we could understand the reliance on many kulas, perhaps including Bezdin Shokel. So then the question was, what about the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says that you should still seek out a Pesach also? So that could be true, as Zvi Reisman points out, but maybe not for Yom Nerah. Yom Nerah we focus on Torah, and he mentioned Al Pidei Aruch HaDrash, that perhaps the Hataras Nedarim that we do around this time of year is a response to the Emes HaDin that is created, which essentially creates a state of Harata. We mentioned Halacha L'maisa, should you have a Beis Din Shokel, which Sternberg felt it was Safek, and that Rajalti, in his piece, he says that even though conceptually you can defend it with Rabbi Eger, but since it's upon an objective, then you really shouldn't have a Beis Din Shokel, and if you want to be mapping it for 10 for the purpose of Hetzer Nidui or something like that, so then you should have 11 and accomplish both things, but it's not recommended practice to have a Beis Din Shokel. Okay, so we'll Rav Nucha, Wish everyone an easy and meaningful and productive rest of the fast day. And tomorrow, we'll be excited. Okay.